You'll find our scripture reading in the Old Testament scriptures in the book of Psalms, Psalm 72, the 72nd Psalm, and we'll commence our reading at verse 1. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And we'll end our reading there at the 20th verse of that chapter. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. You'll find our text here in the 6th verse of this Psalm 72. Psalm 72 and verse 6, and the words are these. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. This 72nd Psalm is the concluding psalm in the second book, or the second division of the entire book of Psalms. It gives us the psalmist's prayer before the Lord concerning the reign of King Solomon. And yet as we read down the psalm, we find that there are many words that have their application, and can only have their application, to a greater than Solomon, even to David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the one of whom Solomon in many ways foreshadowed. We find the opening verse of the psalm reads like this: Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. And here David's plea is that Solomon the king would so reign, and that his work would be ordered in such a way that it would fulfill the very purpose and the very will of the Lord. And he who is the Lord our righteousness does and shall reign in righteousness, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. We have reference to that, for example, in verse 17 of the psalm. His name shall endure forever. His name shall endure forever, shall be forever, shall continue forever. And the subjects of his kingdom, they are those who will be provided for, and their every need will be met. Again, there's reference in the psalm to that. For example, in verse 12, he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. But just as David was seeking the blessing of the Lord in this psalm for the reign of Solomon, the greater than Solomon, the Lord Jesus, is the very giver of every blessing that we receive. The one who is the King shall confer blessing, even that blessing that is compared and likened unto rain coming down on the mown grass. Just as our text declares there in verse 6, He, and that's a reference to Christ, He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. We could translate it, just to get, I hope, a better understanding of what is meant here, instead of translating it as we have here, He shall come down. Those words that are translated come down, they really do mean descend. So we could read it that way, He shall descend like rain upon the mown grass. He shall come down. He has descended, hasn't he? He has descended. He has come down in his incarnation. For he was the one who was made flesh. He was the one who was manifest in flesh. In fact, the scriptures tell us he was the one who was sent in the flesh. So he has come down in his incarnation. He has come down, or he has descended in his humiliation. When we think of those words that Paul was writing to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. So he has descended in his humiliation. He has also come down, he has also descended in his expiation, because man's guilt was removed by his atoning death on the cross at Calvary. So in those ways, in those senses, he has already come down. He has already descended. But we're looking at our text here and considering this simile that is used, and we find the Lord Jesus is portrayed before us as the one who comes distilling his grace, distilling his blessing upon his church, upon his people, and he distills it like the rain. He distills his blessing like the showers. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. And so, what is the picture here for us to view for a little while today? Well, the picture is simply this. We're viewing Christ as the spiritual rain of his church. That's the picture, the word picture that's before us in our text. It is Christ as the spiritual rain of his church, of his blood-bought people. And so as we come to view this picture that's before us in our text here in this sixth verse of Psalm 72, I want first of all just to take a moment to examine this relationship that is before us. And we can best do it by asking at least one question. When we think about an examination, I suppose we maybe think about many questions that will be asked. But as we examine this relationship, I just want to pose one question. What is there? What is there with regard to Christ that may be compared or likened unto the rain? That's the question. That's the question that we want to get an answer to as we examine this relationship that's before us. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass. What is there with regard to Christ that may be compared to the rain? Well, Christ as our spiritual rain has a relationship to several things. He has a relationship, first of all, to the scepter. Over in Psalm 45, and I'm not asking you to turn to it, but over in Psalm 45 and verse 6, we discover there that there are three things that surround kingship or speak to us of the concept of kingship, there is mention of the throne, there is mention of the scepter, and there is mention of the kingdom. And I am saying to you that Christ, as our spiritual reign, has a relationship to the scepter. To the scepter. Jesus Christ is none other than the eternal Word. And being the eternal Word and the only begotten Son of God, He is the everlasting King. And Jesus Christ, as God, has an everlasting throne. In fact, we read in Psalm 103, verse 19, "The Lord hath prepared," or "the Lord hath established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all." And that is a reference to the universal kingship of the Lord. But when we think about Christ here, and view Christ in His relationship to the scepter, and obviously we're thinking of Him as the King, and you know that He executes the three offices of prophet, of priest, and of King. But whenever we're viewing Him as the King here, we're not thinking of Him as the pre-incarnate King. As God, He has that universal kingship. But we're not thinking of Him here in that sense. We're viewing Him as the Redeemer King, bringing salvation to His people in the work of redemption. And He has a very special kingship that He exercises as the Redeemer of His people, as He, as it were, wields the scepter, as the King reigning and ruling in the kingdom of His grace. You get a little glimpse of that over in the book of Beginnings. Often the book of Genesis is referred to as the seed plot of the Bible, because all of the great doctrines that we have in the Word of God, you can find them in seed form in the book of Beginnings, in the book of Genesis. And over in Genesis chapter 49, here we read of Jacob. Jacob is soon to go the way of all the earth. He's going to go soon the way of all flesh. And as he speaks here in Genesis 49, he's speaking as a prophet. And he's telling forth of the destiny of the tribes that will come from his sons. And when we come to Genesis 49, verse 8, he speaks of Judah. Listen to what we read. "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up?" But verse 10, still speaking about Judah, the scepter. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Here is Judah being spoken of, and it's quite clear that Judah is being given a place of supremacy, of authority, and of power. And there in that verse 10, there is the reference to the scepter, the symbol, because the scepter is the symbol of the exercise of the authority and the power of the one who reigns upon the throne. And we were reading about it there in that 10th verse. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come." And who is God Shiloh? God Shiloh is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's Shiloh. It's pointing to the one who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who will prevail, the one who will take the scepter, and the one who will reign in pursuit of God's purpose in redemption. Of course, we have that spoken of in another Old Testament prophecy over in the book of Micah. Listen to the words in Micah 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler. Is to be ruler in Israel. And here we have the word ruler, and it means to have dominion. In fact, it means to have supreme dominion. Supreme authority to reign, to rule. And it's speaking of Christ. And we're told at the end of that verse 2, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And again, when we come to the prophecy of Hosea, Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3, listen to what we read there. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth. And we were just reading there in that previous reference in Micah 5 and 2 about his goings forth. And here we have it now in Hosea 6 and verse 3. His going forth is prepared. And the word prepared there means decreed. Decreed. In fact, we're brought to think about God's decrees. And when we think about God's decrees, we're thinking about that which is absolutely certain. What God has decreed will not be changed, will not be altered, because God has decreed it. It is absolutely certain. It is absolutely sure. God has decreed it. Well, his going forth is prepared. The word means decreed. We read it that way. His going forth is decreed as the morning. It's decreed as the morning. The morning comes, doesn't it? For God has decreed it so, just as he has decreed the night also. In fact, it's Jeremiah that makes that very clear to us. I'll not ask you to turn to the reference, but Jeremiah 33 in verses 20 and 21, it speaks there about that covenant regarding the morning, that covenant regarding the night. It's something that's certain. It's something that's sure. He shall come unto us. And we're back here in Hosea 6 verse 3 to finish the verse. His going forth is prepared as the morning. And, listen, he shall come unto us as the rain. The one who holds the scepter. The one who reigns. The one who is the king. He shall come unto us as the rain. As the latter and former rain onto the earth. So as we come to examine the relationship that's before us here and answer the question, what is there with regard to Christ that may be compared to the rain? We can see Christ as our spiritual rain in relationship to the scepter. He shall come as the rain because he is the king. And as the king, he reigns. He brings to us those decreed mercies. Those mercies that are certain and sure and that cannot be broken. And he brings them to us and showers them upon us as the rain. But Christ as our spiritual rain has a relationship to something else. Not only the scepter, but the scriptures. The scriptures. I'm thinking particularly of that verse over in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And the words are these, verse 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. What's being said here in this verse? My doctrine. The literal reading is simply this. My received learning. What does that tell us? This is something that's not originating with man. And the scriptures didn't originate with man, did they? This received learning. This doctrine that we have in God's Word, it's that which God Himself has given, it's that which God Himself has revealed. But that verse 2 of Deuteronomy 32 says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. Shall drop. When we think about the rain, we sometimes think about the drops of rain, don't we? And here this verse is saying, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. In other words, the Word of God is going to come and be as profitable and as effective in our hearts, in our souls, as the rain coming down upon the earth. That rain that comes down and waters the earth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. The prophet Isaiah takes up this theme. Think of those words in Isaiah 55 in verse 10. Listen to what the Lord says. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God's power is at work here. God is fulfilling his purpose in creation, speaking of the rain coming down, watering the earth, making it bring forth and bud. And then the very next verse says this, So, just as the rain in verse 10 is coming down and watering the earth, making it fruitful, and the buds being made to come forth, so, verse 11, shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. That word void just means it will not return without effect. It will be effective. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And that's how the Word of God is pictured here for us, coming down as the rain. Or in that verse over in Deuteronomy 32 that we were referring to a moment or two ago, it shall drop as the rain. It shall drop as the rain. Just one drop after another, as the rain comes down, drop by drop by drop. And the preaching of the word in the scriptures is described in that way and in that manner, like the rain dropping. That's what the prophet Ezekiel tells us of in Ezekiel 21 verse 2. The word is being preached, it's like the drops of rain coming down. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew. What is there with regard to Christ that may be compared to the rain or likened to the rain? Scriptures. And the scriptures reveal Christ, the living word. But as we look at this further, there's something else. There is a relationship not only with the scepter and the scriptures, but there's a relationship with the Spirit. The third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead. Again, the prophet Isaiah refers to this in Isaiah 44, verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. He's speaking of the blessing coming here upon the Church of Christ. And he uses the figure here of the water, of the rain, indicative of spiritual blessing coming down. And then when he has spoken of it in that way at the beginning of verse 3 there in Isaiah 44, you'll notice the latter part of the verse says this, I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, so that there will be abundant growth, so that there will be an abundant harvest in the time of harvest. And so the Lord comes down in his inexhaustible fullness. He comes down, and he comes down with rich blessing, that blessing that, that causes and brings fruitfulness that ensues as His Spirit works in hearts. And those hearts are opened up and those hearts are drawn to Christ. And so we're back in our text here in Psalm 72 and verse 6. He shall come down like rain. He shall come down like rain. Having examined the relationship, I want secondly to establish the resemblance. Let's establish this resemblance that's made here by the use of this simile. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass. And I want to do it in just a very simple way. Think about the manifestation of it. The manifestation of it. Let's think of rain again for just a moment. The rain as it comes down. Well, the rain is God's gift. Sometimes we speak about it in a way as if it wasn't. But it is God's gift. One of the old Puritan preachers, he used to say that the key of the rain hangs at God's girdle. Because he was so much aware that the rain was the gift of the Lord. In fact, it's the prophet Jeremiah who poses the question and who poses the challenge to us in Jeremiah chapter 14, and it's verse 22. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? That means of themselves give showers. The answer is no, because it is the Lord. It is His gift. And who are we viewing here? Christ. And how is He being viewed? As the spiritual rain of His church. And the whole work of Christ, the whole work of redemption that He has done, the redemption that He has purchased by the shedding of His own blood, even the giving of Christ Himself to be the Savior of the world, is God's gift. Isn't it? It's God's gift. Because it's Job who again speaks about the rain. Only in Job 38 and verse 28 he says, hath the rain a father? Hath the rain a father? Or who hath begotten the drops of dew? The question is being posed. It's as if Job is posing this question to us. Have you or have I been the father of the rain? And the answer is no. But God is, in this sense, the Father of the rain, in that he sends it forth and He gives it as His gift. And Christ has no father but God alone. Isn't that right? He has no father. No earthly father. But God alone, for He is God, manifest in the flesh. So, we're establishing this resemblance in the manifestation of it. Let me establish it for you, or attempt to establish it in another way, in the marks of it. When the rain comes down, it softens, doesn't it? It softens the ground. In fact, in another psalm, Psalm 65 verse 10, it reads, Thou makest it soft with showers. And you see, Christ has that softening virtue. Christ has that softening power. You want an example of that? Think of Peter. When Peter denied his Lord, I suggest to you his heart was hard. His heart was hard. But then you remember when the Lord looked upon him, he wept. That look, Christ coming down as the rain upon that hard heart, softened it, and it was broken, and was contrite. So, in the marks of it, as we establish the resemblance, it softens, it fructifies, it makes fruitful, it makes productive. It's the cause of that fruit coming forth in abundance that we even read of here in this very Psalm, Psalm 72. For example, in verse 16, there shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, because it's there in its fullness, it's there in its abundance. It'll shake like Lebanon. And if we had time, and I don't have time to trace that through into the Song of Solomon, where we read there in chapter 4 of the song about those streams that come from Lebanon, in chapter 4 and verse 15 of the song, and then when you come over into the Song of Solomon chapter 5, you discover that Christ himself is spoken of as Lebanon, speaking of his countenance. For example, in the Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 15, his countenance is as Lebanon, because he is the one who causes that fruitfulness. So in the marks of it, it softens, it fructifies, it rejoices. It was so, you remember, when Philip went preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch. We're told in Acts 8:35 that he preached unto him Jesus. And then that Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. What about the manner of it? As we establish the resemblance here, Christ coming down like the rain. What can be unpredictable, can't it? Rain. You know, when you're going, you're looking up, you're saying, I wonder, do I need my raincoat? Wonder, will it be all right? Do I need to take my umbrella with me? Maybe I should, just in case. Just in case the rain would come on. Just in case the rain would come down. And sometimes the rain comes in a very mild manner, doesn't it? It's just as if it's falling gently. Gently, a gentle shower. Then there are the other times when the rain comes, and it comes in a very, what we could only say is a very stormy manner, a very stormy way. And so Christ comes down. He comes down as the rain. He comes down at those times with his promises to our hearts to comfort us and to strengthen us. And then there are other times when he comes, and his manner of coming is not just so mild and so comforting. It is to bring us a rebuke. And there are times when we need that rebuke. So the manner of it is unpredictable. Isn't it true also to say that the manner of it is undeserving? Undeserving. And yet the Lord does send the rain. So essential when the seed has been sown. But there is the sunshine, yes, but there must needs be the rain too. There must needs be the rain. And if we were to receive the rain of the Lord's blessing in Christ only when we deserved it, would there not be an awful drought? Would there not be an awful drought? But for Christ's sake, it comes. It comes. Comes unexpectedly too. Even when we don't expect it, it comes. And I think those disciples on the road to Emmaus are an example of that. Remember how they set off on that journey? Hearts downcast, spirits low, wondering what the future was going to be. The Lord had been crucified, and then the risen Christ drew near and went with them, began to talk to them by the way as he journeyed with them. And at the end of the journey they testified, did not our heart burn within us as he talked to us by the way, as he opened up the scriptures unto us? Unexpectedly, he came as the rain upon their hearts. But then I want to close by just emphasizing the reality of it. You see, there is a necessity of experiencing this. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. There's a necessity of experiencing it. And I mean by that simply this, of being able to say, Christ has come down as my rain. Or Christ has come down as our rain. So that we will be a blessing to others in the place that we work in, the place that we labor in, the people that we come into contact with. That we'll be as that remnant of Jacob that Micah speaks about in Micah 5 and the verse 7, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people. How? As a dew from the Lord. That's challenging to our hearts, isn't it? When we are in the midst of people, when we are in contact with others, are we unto them as a dew from the Lord? Because Christ has been coming down upon our hearts as that rain upon the mown grass. And we are becoming more and more like Him. And therefore we are as that dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. Think of what Hosea tells us over in Hosea 14 and verse 5. The Lord says this, I will be as the dew unto Israel. That's His promise. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They shall dwell under his shadow. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Have we got any excuse? When you read a portion like that, there's to be growth abundant. Because there is grace that is abounding. There's growth everywhere. There's abundance everywhere. In every direction. And the Lord has a right to expect fruitfulness of us as His people, hasn't He? And there will only be that fruitfulness if we are knowing and experiencing in our hearts and in our lives what our text is saying to us. Christ coming down on our own souls like the rain on the mown grass. And if He is to come down in this manner to us and upon us, we need to be meditating upon Him. We need to be thinking much upon Him. We need to be meeting regularly under the faithful preaching of His Word. It's the prophet Zechariah who says in Zechariah 10, what ask ye of the Lord rain? Ask ye of the Lord rain. And we're thinking about this in a spiritual sense, obviously. Because we've been viewing Christ as the spiritual rain of His church, of His people. We're to ask. Notice what our text says, and with this I close. At verse 6 again, He shall descend, or He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Water the earth. And it's the word water there that I draw your attention to. Because it's the only time in the scriptures that the word is used, it's translated water here. And it has the meaning of that which is plentiful. That which is overflowing. That which is copious. That which is in abundance. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water in abundance to overflowing.
Therefore, why should we be oft-times so dry in our own hearts? Why should our souls be so parched, as if it were nothing but drought from the year's beginning to the year's end? When as His people, when as His blood-bought people, we should be those who are experiencing our Savior coming upon our hearts like the rain upon the grass, like the showers that water the earth. Let's bow in prayer.